Good morning, Skrull Nation. Today is Friday, September 29th, and this is Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. You're listening to Skrull Radio, hurried but well-considered thoughts about peer writing tutoring and the writing process, brought to you by the University Center for Writing-Based Learning, a.k.a. The Equable. I'm your host, Kate Harrington, and I am joined, as always, by the lovely and talented Brendan Peterson. What's up, Brendan?
Hey.
Do you like getting that intro?
It's not my intro. Does that make sense? Like, it's just not, those words aren't meant for me.
Yeah, you're right. It felt weird. You're not lovely or talented.
Sad.
So today we are joined by Gia, our other Skrull host. Hey, Gia.
Hello.
Executive producer, Gia.
Is that what we're calling her now?
Okay.
I think so.
Oh,
she earns that title.
The third.
Mine and the new Robert.
The third wheel on our tricycle is always the executive producer.
Okay, sure. Even though she's younger than us.
Yeah.
Who cares? Yeah. Okay, producers don't have to be the most seasoned.
The new.
It's a title.
Okay. It's just odd because our previous executive producer was much wiser beyond our years.
I am Robert now. I am the new Robert.
I'm giving it to you.
I suppose.
It's yours.
We have a very, very, very special guest in the office today. Because
this is an office?
Okay, yeah. The basement, I guess.
In our basement.
The studio.
The studio.
She's a close friend of mine. We're like pretty tight. But she's also the editor-in-chief at The Black Sheep here at DePaul. What's up, Allie Zosick?
Hey, what is up? How's it going?
You want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, sure. Okay. So I am a senior here at DePaul,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a journalism and public relations and advertising double major.
Wow. So
yeah,
smart.
Doing a lot. And then I'm also minoring in graphic design.
Oh, yeah. Isn't Gia the exact same major?
Yeah, I'm a prad major as
what
well.
Up? Word.
But I focus in PR.
Okay. See, I'm the opposite. I'm focusing in journalism.
Oh, I have a minor in journalism. Wow,
that's what I was
going
to say.
We're the same person.
Yeah, that's cool.
Basically.
We get it.
So what's your official title at the Black Sheep?
So I'm the chief campus editor, which is translated as the editor-in-chief here just at DePaul on mm-hmm. campus. Each campus that the Black Sheep is at has a different editor-in-chief, basically. So that's me.
Amazing. I love you, and I'm so glad that
Thanks.
You're on the show. So how long have you been working with the Black Sheep?
Coming up on a year now. I joined as a writer last October, and then I wrote for them all the way up into the spring, and then I applied to be the chief campus editor and got that position.
Amazing. What is the Black Sheep?
So... a lot of things, and but I would say it's sort of similar to The Onion mm-hmm. if you put that on a college campus and make mm-hmm. it all focused around college things
mm-hmm.
and things that college students get up to and the weird shit that sorry.
What
fine. It's the okay. weird stuff that
the weird things that people do on college campuses.
Amazing.
And the organization has like chapters all over the country, right? But it's like an overarching mm-hmm. company.
Yeah, yeah. So there is a national like mm-hmm. Organization, but there are, I don't know how many campuses they have, but
a lot,
it's quite
right?
a few now. Yeah, yeah they're
yeah,
expanding.
If you look on their website, they have like a little drop down thing, and it's quite a few.
Yeah,
there's a couple subcategories as
yeah.
well,
and oh, a lot of them are like Big Ten schools. But yeah. we just got lucky enough to have it here in Chicago. So
yeah, so. The Black Sheep is basically a satirical, what do you call it? Would you say a news?
I don't know if I would call it news.
Publication?
I think like a satirical news. Magazine would count.
Yeah.
The magazine's a little more flexible.
Yeah. You guys print issues too?
Yeah. I think once a quarter we have print issues come out, so we get our best and brightest pieces out on paper.
Okay. But then the cool thing about Black Sheep is that like each campus has their own... Like, it's not across colleges. It's, like, for the specific college, right?
Yeah. So every article we put out is very specific to either DePaul or Chicago.
Yeah. That's super cool.
Yeah. And there's national articles that come out that sort of, you know, everybody could relate to as a college student. But for us, our content is very focused on things that DePaul students can relate to.
Yeah. Vincentians out here.
Yeah. Amazing.
So what must be done?
Allie, I've only met you a handful of times alongside the lovely and talented Kate Harrington, and I learn new things about you every single time. And what I learned today was that you're a PR major.
Yeah.
Which, like, in the context of satire, like, makes my brain do somersaults because like PR and satire, I think, are opposites.
Yeah, they really are. Me and PR are also opposites.
I can see that.
Yeah. How I fell into that double major, I couldn't really tell you. I think I had a crisis my freshman year. I mean, I've learned a lot of good skills in that major, but yeah, it is funny because a lot of PR is not very, you know, like flexible with humor or anything like that.
Yeah. So if anything, PR is taking humor and putting in a little box and saying, don't open that up again.
Yeah. Unless it's an advertising in which they think they're being funny.
Yeah, exactly. Right, right.
Yeah, that's funny. I feel like satire would be like directly derived from the stupid things that come out of PR.
Yeah, right?
There's a lot of source material.
Yeah,
and we'll get to that in like a little bit. Like, mechanically, how it works.
Okay, cool. So, what kind of stuff does the Black Sheep post? Is it just articles? Is it supposed to be like news reporting? Is it?
Yeah, so there's a few different categories of articles that we post. We post like listicles, weird how-to guides.
It's kind of like BuzzFeed, right?
Sort of. I think BuzzFeed has a lot more like resources and you know, they get to be a little bit more flexible, but
with what exactly they're posting and can call themselves,
Right. But we, I guess, like in terms of satire, we focus on like reactive newsy sort of articles. And then we also do a lot on like social media channels, on like Facebook and trying to put out videos and doing things on Instagram and Snapchat and stuff.
Do we also have quizzes on the Black Sheep?
Yeah, those are my favorite.
Oh, I love the quizzes. That's hilarious.
Yeah, those are probably the closest to BuzzFeed.
Content, you're right. But they still have that. They're almost like satirical of BuzzFeed, right? Because they're stupid quizzes.
Yeah, yeah. It's taking that same format where they're like, hey, answer these weird questions and we'll tell you something completely unrelated.
Yeah.
so we get to sort of take that idea and make it our own.
Run with it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you have any examples for us? Like, what's some cool stuff that you've been running? It could be quizzes, it could be articles, it could be anything. But I'm kind of curious as to, like what are you happy with what you've done?
So I actually just published an article today that I wrote yesterday, last night at like 11 p.m. Yeah, Kate was there for me writing it. And it was 6 places you don't want to be caught on Snap Maps at 3 a.m. So, you know, like the hospital, you don't want to be there at 3 a.m. Or Lake Michigan, probably don't want to end up there.
Like in the middle of Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
Right. Or just like a comfortable distance away from the shore.
Yeah. Uncomfortable. Right. I think that's uncomfortable at that point. Yeah.
So that was cheesies. One. Yeah, cheesies is another example. But we had another quiz come out like last week, I think, and it was decorate your dorm room and we'll tell you what stew food you are. So that's like an example of
I actually took that quiz.
Me too, I got sushi. Yeah.
I got sushi too?
I
got sushi, yeah.
Oh. We're all very similar. We're actually all wearing like very similar outfits.
Yeah. Happy fall, everyone, by the way.
We all have glasses, hoops, black long sleeve shirts. That's funny.
And glasses.
Yeah.
It's glasses.
It's a real
pay attention.
Witch coven out here.
It is. So what exactly is your like writing process for a Black Sheep article? Like, do you start with an idea or do you have to brainstorm? How does that work?
So it usually starts with whatever the pitch is. Since I'm now the chief campus editor, I don't do a lot of pitching anymore or writing. But I do try to get an article out here and there. But when I sit down with an idea, I sort of just start writing.
Really?
Honestly, yeah. Because with this sort of satire, for me, it's easiest to just kind of like get my ideas out.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll start with like a template if it's a list or something.
Yeah.
Like my like topics I'm gonna cover, but I usually just go with it and see whatever comes to my mind and sort of like let loose and relax because that's how the jokes come the easiest to me. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I was also gonna say too, like the articles you're writing are kind of like templates of like real news articles, right? So you kind of already have that format to work with, and I feel like that has to make it easier to then be able to just focus on the jokes and not get so wrapped up in like the sentences, because you know, like, like for instance, like the Snap Maps one, like you know that you have to start with like a blurb and whatever.
Yeah, it's definitely like being a journalism major has helped me immensely in doing this, which is sort of funny because it's kind of like a website where you don't really need any experience to write for it.
Yeah.
But having that journalism background, like, it makes it so much easier to sit down and start writing an article because I know the format already.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then I get to break the rules and make it funny.
Funny, yeah. So that's what I was going to say, too. Like, why are we even talking about the Black Sheep on a show about the Writing Center? But I think it has to do with our core belief about genre and that, like, learning genre and being able to, like, understand the mechanics of it helps us to then, like, be able to get better at writing in that genre and breaking the rules of it to make it more.
When I started at the Black Sheep, I feel like I was terrible at it.
Really?
I've never written satire in my life.
Really?
Yeah, and it was definitely a learning curve in the first like 3-4 months for me. And then by this time the spring rolled around, I was, you know, I had so many ideas for pitches and content, and it was so easy for me to just write an article.
So how did you, like, what is the application process like, or what is it like to start at the
Black Sheep? If anyone's wanting to apply
for it, right?
Please do apply. We're looking for writers.
Can see how cool the editor and
she is. Shameless plug out here.
To apply, it's super easy. You know, you just apply online, send us, you know, what about you, your resume, that kind of thing. And then usually starts with like a phone interview with me or my boss, which, you know, not that scary, honestly. And then usually send a writing sample. So it has to be something so we can see that you can create content that fits with what we're putting out.
Yeah.
And that's sort of it, honestly.
So is that writing sample, like, I would be scared to submit a writing sample, like, if that was my first brush with like satirical writing, if it was something I wanted to get into and I didn't feel like I knew it yet. So, like, do you help the writers with the writing sample, or do you like give them a lot of leeway because they don't know
sort of
the conventions of satirical writing?
Yeah, so usually we give them, like, I'll give writers who are applying samples of good articles that we've put out before that have done really well and that really fit what our voices.
So you'll tell them that before they write the sample?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Just to like help them out and tell them the sort of articles we put out. But, you know, honestly, it's sort of like open to each writer. And if they want to be creative and do something new, that's also always encouraged.
Yeah. Super cool.
Lovely. So your job as editor, could you tell me a little bit about that? Like, what exactly... I mean, I don't work with, like, journalists, so I'm a little, I don't know a lot about it, but, like, what is your role? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, so it's
you
sort
edit.
Of like, yeah, I do edit, yeah. But it's more of, like, a day-to-day managing position also. Mm. You know, I have to manage all my writers and make sure that they're getting their articles in on time, and if they need help writing or are struggling with something, I sort of deal with that, too, and then I'm responsible for making sure that articles get shared on social media so that people can see and read the articles. And then every week we have a pitch meeting. So I'm in charge of leading that and picking all the pitches that go up for the next week.
Awesome. So when you say that you're helping writers with their material, is it kind of like a... Like, how does that process work with helping someone, giving them feedback? Because that's literally what we do at the Writing Center. Yeah.
Is it more, like, collaborative, or would you say it's more, like you working with someone to write a piece?
Prescriptive,
you kind of suggestion-based, kind of.
Yeah, it's definitely more, like, suggestion-based, I would say. You know, I tried to help lead a certain direction, like, in meetings with content. But I'm the sort of editor who I really want to maintain that writer's voice.
Nice.
So it's a lot more collaborative and encouraging of them to really push themselves. And, you know, if they need help, that I'm there for them. But more of a collaborative process than anything.
So if they want help, does it usually have to... Is it usually, like, jokes people want help with, or, like, format, or...
I would say usually formatting stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes, especially if you don't... have never really written before.
Okay, yeah.
Getting the format down can be a little bit hard.
So, like, the structure of, like, how to start an article. And
Super
cool.
Lovely.
So, we are going to take our first break. Here is Royals by Lord, and we'll see you on the other side.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address. in a torn up town. No postcode envy, but every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals.
Royals.
It's a run in our blood. That kind of luck's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. My friends and I, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money, but every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals.
Royals.
It's a run in our blood. That kind of luck's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Welcome back, Skrull Nation. You're listening to Skrull Radio on Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. I'm your host, Kate Harrington. I'm here with Brendan P. What's up?
Hey.
And Gia Z. What's up?
Yo.
Here with the Skrull team and my BFF, Ali Zosik.
Hello.
What's up?
What up?
We've been talking about her position as editor-in-chief at the Black Sheep DePaul, which is a satirical online publication. It's mostly online, I guess.
Yep.
So you can call it that. And we're talking about satire and how we write it, why we need to break down those genre conventions to learn better about our own writing.
Yeah, I think, and part of what why I glommed on to your major, Ali, is not because I don't like PR to fix grab
it.
Onto
okay.
something.
Okay.
Glom.
Good word. Word of the week.
I don't think it's a
glom.
It's a word.
That's definitely a word.
Look it up.
Oh my gosh. It means to steal, though.
Yeah, great. Glom on.
Sure.
Steal on.
stop it.
So the reason you can't get away with just making up words, Brendan.
I'm not making it's a word, Kate.
Let's Google this.
You are ruining my flow.
Okay, sorry. You glommed on to Alice's
your major
majors.
Because so PR. Weird. Seems sort of antithetical to the aims of satire, because satire tends to like take a genre that might be overly positive or overly neutral, and they just contort it until it becomes absurd, and that absurdity is what's funny. So you're either like brilliant or confused for choosing PR as your major, and I think I'm inclined to think that you might be brilliant because you are informing your satire by like kind of becoming versed in like this positive preppy like rhetoric that PR usually relies on, and so I'm kind of curious as to like how that does inform like what you write about on a weekly or ever basis.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes sense. I sit in these classes every day where PR is definitely one of those majors where you just have to be positive and like try to always make people believe that you're being positive. And it's sort of funny because I definitely have that mindset where I go into things and I'm sort of like a cynical thinker. Yeah. So I sit in these classes and listen to the things that they say. And I kind of always just think of like ways I am like joking in my head, you know, about it. I'm like, this is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And PR is also just sort of like, it's funny because it's even antithetical to like my own like mindset.
Of taking anything seriously ever.
Yeah. Exactly. So I don't know. It's kind of funny, but the major has definitely taught me a lot just about, you know, the way that the world works.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I was going to say, I think as a fellow PR major, one thing that I think would connect a lot is it talks to you or teaches you a lot about audience and how to appeal to an audience and how to appeal to like diverse and multiple audiences at the same time. Mm-hmm. And when you're writing, you know, for a college, which is an incredibly mostly, I guess, diverse and like, a diverse collection of people, and you know, you have to appeal to a lot of different people, and I guess you're doing it with the whole like relatable to Paul thing, but at the same time, like, you got to think like, okay, well, who's gonna read this, who wants to read this, how do I get this to as many people as possible while still remaining true to our own, you know, motto or voice, I guess.
Right. And then audience awareness is really important with satire as well, just because like you need to know, you have to be a couple steps ahead of your audience just in the construction of a headline, for example. And I actually am curious about what your process is for headlines, because headlines have always kind of eluded me. It's the best part of The Onion. I don't think
The Onion. I love the Black Sheep headlines, I just gotta say. They're always, I see them and I'm like, oh, I gotta read it.
I look at The Onion's website like probably 3 or 4 times a week, and I'm almost never clicking on an article just because the headlines themselves are so good.
Agreed.
Even though the writing is incredible when you spend the time.
Or if you want to talk about like Reductress, I think their headlines
I do
want to
talk about
Reductress.
Yeah.
So I think it's so funny.
If it's easier to put a name to the face, can you walk us through like a story idea that you've had in the last couple of weeks, and the process of assigning a title to it, or if it started with a title and then the story followed?
You know, that's kind of something interesting, because when we're pitching articles, it's usually always like
the headline. That's like your log line, basically.
Yeah, it definitely
your
is blurb. But it's difficult because a lot of times the joke of the entire article can get just stuck in the headline. And for us, you know, we're putting out 500 word articles every time we put out an article. And that's, I think, the difference between The Onion and us sometimes, or even like Clickhole or Reductress.
Because they have more,
a lot of
words.
That is just, a joke that's a headline, and that's the content.
That's it,
So, like, for us, we have to be a little bit more careful when we're constructing headlines. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure that the joke isn't just there in the headline and nobody's going to click on the article and read the rest of the content.
You got to tease it.
Yeah, so for, like, the 6 places you don't want to be caught on Snap Maps at 3 a.m., like, that's funny already. It's where people don't want to be caught. And then the jokes are those 6 places and what's funny about each of those places.
Yeah.
So, and that format in particular invites people to click it, like you want to be seeing what that is. Whereas
is that a listicle? Yeah,
that would be a listicle.
I like that word.
Yeah, me too.
Listicle.
Also, glom, which is a real world, but it's to steal.
But I think glom
we
on means something
or become stuck or attached to.
Bam! There you go. Thank you, Merriam-Webster. Use number 2 on the list. I'm a strong advocate. Or the alternative.
You are. You really, really only ever.
I knew I wasn't crazy.
Definition. That's. I just summed you up in your.
I summed me up. Thank you.
Okay, you summed you up.
Let's talk about satire in general. Getting back to our show question.
I want to talk about The Reductress. So,
okay.
We've been talking a little bit, like this week, Sarah, I'm going to mess up her last name. It's like Pepperdale Noodles. Sarah. the co-founder of The Reductress. I'm going to look up her name because now I feel bad for calling her a pasta.
That's very Pappardo Noodles?
Papper.
That's a name?
Pappalardo. Sarah Pappalardo. She co-founded The Reductress and came out with that book, How to Win at Feminism.
Okay.
Which is all satirical. and we were just talking about, because she was at DePaul, like how... this is me and Brendan talking about this. How
I'm just laughing at I Googled Reductress, and now I'm laughing at headlines.
Yeah. that their convention that they're playing with is women's magazines specifically, whereas the mm-hmm. Onion is like literally any
much more news.
It's yeah, very exactly. Yeah, news.
It's oriented. A little political sometimes.
Yeah, you're right. That's different from like a women's yeah, magazine. What were you saying about Reductress? Mm-hmm. We actually had Shelby Enlow was on our show I think like 2 years ago now talking about improv at the IO, and mm-hmm. she has done a couple of articles for the Reductress, which is really cool because they have kind of like an open I don't even know what you would call that, like an open call for submissions mm-hmm. basically, or for pitches, so you can just email the pitches. The thing is though that the articles I know don't have like credit of like who wrote it, which is kind of weird but also kind of cool because then it keeps it, it's probably for the best now that I think about it, right, that women can hide behind the things they make fun of, you know. But Shelby has talked about how like she's been in the same like bout of pitches as like things that Mara Wilson has done, who's mm-hmm. a great writer after being in Matilda.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, right. So the Reductress is super cool because it has that very specific aim of like women's things, mm-hmm. whereas the Black Sheep is very specific in DePaul students, which is cool.
Yeah,
and collegiate.
Yeah. And I think that also that is something that makes that content successful.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, focused on an audience where, you know, you can kind of laugh at it and feel like it's sort of like an inside joke.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because like the Onion is so overarching mm-hmm. that it's almost like we had to have that first so that we could all laugh at the same things. And now we're like, okay, we want to find like our group of people.
Our niche.
Yeah.
So actually, I want to put you on the spot a little bit because... Okay. There are like DePaul jokes, right?
Yeah.
Like there, we all have this idea of the prototypical
DePaul
person. I'm not even going to call him a student. That seems a little bit generous. But like DePaul person exists in mm-hmm. our minds.
Yeah, the kid who stands outside of Arts and Letters and smokes a pack of American Spirits. That's
yeah, okay. Yeah, you know exactly. Like, you are locked into what I'm talking about. Yeah. So like, I guess, like, what are the kinds of things about DePaul that you think the Black Sheep exposes really well, that like people just rambling on social media or the DePaulio or even Fortune East, they can't get where you can with your satire? What are you talking about?
I think that we're talking about just kind of like how ridiculous some things at DePaul are. Sorry. But like, you know, there's a lot of like political debate happening on campus and mm-hmm. a lot of it is, you know, so trivial and ridiculous, and we like to sort of expose that, or you know, the pretentiousness of like a film major, you know.
Yeah, you did that article a couple weeks ago.
Our lack of sports.
Yeah, yeah, you know, the things about DePaul that people all notice but you know, and maybe laugh at by themselves or just like chuckle at in their head. You know, we're kind of bringing that to a bigger platform and being like, we all think this is ridiculous, so let's just laugh at it.
Yeah.
So would you say that satire is like the art of just noticing things?
Sort of. I think it is. I think it's bringing humor to like the mundane things or things that people, you know, maybe take too seriously in their regular everyday life.
Well, I feel like what's funny about the Black Sheep, DePaul, is that like we're commenting on all the ways that DePaul is different from like Big Ten schools, mm-hmm. like all the pretentious people in the art, you know, like, film majors, not having sports and things like that. So I think like it's like our mundane, but it's actually like very ridiculous to other people's mundane. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so it's like kind of mundane, but also kind of like ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where you know, U of M is Big Ten college town, and they also go blue, exactly. And they also have a Black Sheep chapter. Mm-hmm. But I look through their articles sometimes just because I grew up on the campus and I get it, but also it's so different.
It's very different.
And like when I talk to my friends who go to University of Michigan about DePaul, it's always like very strange because I'm like, I go to this private university. It's like the largest Catholic university in the nation, but we're not actually that Catholic. We don't have sports.
System, you know,
I get done by Thanksgiving with school, and then I just have a crazy long break.
And like, I can ride around on this like magic metal like streetcar for infinity without paying any money.
Yeah,
it's a good time.
Yeah, I mean, comparing our content to Big Ten schools, it's, you know, wildly different, but
That's almost half the joke, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
It's the, who we are compared to who they are. It's mm-hmm. an us versus them. Yeah.
Which is, I guess, a cool thing that the black sheep provides, because I think probably, and maybe not as a rule, because I'm sure like most college, I think colleges are more similar than they're not as a rule. Like if you go nationwide, right. Like, especially like Big Ten state schools, like you're going to have a lot of overlap, like maybe mm-hmm. different politics here and there. But in general, it's going to be a lot of the same phenomenon. DePaul is a weird cousin.
A
like it's the second cousin at Thanksgiving that sits down the table.
The edgy
and, like,
city kid.
Eats potatoes with his hands, but like also is smoking. Like it's just not a good time. But it's fun to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever written satire? I was going to ask you.
I have. Yeah, actually. I started this... satirical paper
That's why I was like, has Brendan done that before? Yeah.
We very famously wrote a satirical article about, like, it has, like, I think it's the most liked thing I've ever had on Facebook. It has, like, 250 likes. And this is when I was in...
the big leagues.
I was a senior in high school, so I had, like, maybe half as many friends.
Right.
And it was about my friend Nick Anderson, who was suspended in class for playing with acetone flames in chemistry. Just, he was just, like, making designs on a table and, like, putting a match in it. It was, like, whoosh, like mm-hmm. it was, like, very quick, and these are fireproof tables. He was basically tattled on by a kid in my class with a substitute teacher who was not in the room.
Oh, I remember this story.
And I should say that the rest of the room was all, like, almost everyone in the room was doing the exact same thing. Not responsible, would not recommend it.
Oh, no.
Only these two people, these two straight-laced, Nick and my other friend Anthony, were caught. And so we basically wrote this story about the bravery of this teacher launching into inaction and like not
to save the school from being set arsonists. Up a flame.
We ended the article by promoting an arsonists awareness barbecue.
I love that.
It was a lot of fun.
Literally hilarious.
It's one of the better things I've ever done. I had a good time with it. Mm-hmm. It was a fun period of my life, and I've been trying to get back, but I haven't really had a chance.
I feel like satire is like it's like unnecessary. So. That makes it like all the more meaningful. Mm-hmm. It's like literally an art, you know?
Yeah. And there's kind of, it's interesting having this conversation right now because, and you say that, but it's not quite what I mean. I know what you think I mean, but it's not exactly
Trump.
What I mean. Right. But like, we're kind of on like the downswing. Like, so for the election, it was just like we get, if the pendulum is like starting here and my hand's like up and away, swings down and then comes back up. Like, that middle part was the election, like all the way through to like the first 6 months of the presidency.
Why would you use a visual metaphor?
And now we're at the top.
Show.
I'm trying to visualize with my words. Give me a chance. So we're at the top of this, where it's just like things make no sense, and satire almost doesn't have the same. Like people made the argument that SNL was only funny because they had such amazing subject material.
Yeah.
But so many Onion outlines, like
are random. Yeah.
Just have to be absurd. Like one of them was literally Steve Bannon exploding into a cloud of spores once he left the White House. That was the satire. Like, because nothing about that situation politically was satirable.
Yeah, satirical.
Satirable.
You're right. No, yeah. I was like, we've said this word several times.
I have proof now that you make up words sometimes. So
I don't. I said the glob's a word. You have less than proof.
Satirable is not a word.
Satirable is not a word.
See, that's
what you're saying is, you know, anything can be inspiration for satire.
Yeah,
it doesn't necessarily have to be like a rich, you know, like the election.
Yeah,
that was just like a rich area for content because there was so much to pull from.
Yeah.
But
stuff was happening.
You can
every day,
take anything you see on the street and turn it into satire. You know, if you think creatively.
I just shared
about it.
On Tuesday. I shared an Onion article that was just it only Tuesday. that was it. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're gonna take our second break, and then we're gonna have a game show for you on the other side. But in the meantime, here's Loser by Beck. Please enjoy.
The plastic eyeballs, spray paint the vegetables. cause one's got a weasel and other's got a flag. One's on the pole, shove the other in the bag. With the rerun shows and the cocaine knows ya, the daytime crap of the folk singer's club. He hung himself with a guitar string, a slab of turkey neck, and it's hanging from a pigeon wing. Gotta get right if you can't relate. Trade the cash for the beat, for the body, for the hate. And my time is a piece of wax falling on a termite who's choking on the splinters. So
alright guys, welcome back to Scrawl Radio. We are going to do a game show now of my own design.
It's not Scrawl Brawl.
It's not Scrawl Brawl, and it breaks my heart, I gotta tell you.
This
is kind of its own way of Scrawl Brawl.
Name
I guess.
It. What are you going to name it?
The question is...
Fake news.
No, I want a name. I want a fun game show name, please.
Fake news.
I'm just going to say, is it The Onion? That's just functionally...
I like fake news better.
Satire Brawl.
Fake news.
No, that's not a game show title.
So, here's how the game works.
Fake
really,
news feud?
I don't really have a point system.
There we go.
Okay, fake news feud. I don't have a point
He's
system
done with me today.
At the moment, but basically I'm going to list headlines.
And then you're just going to decide who wins.
Yeah, I'm going to just feel it out. these headlines are either from The Onion or they are from the subreddit, r/NotTheOnion.
So
got it.
Headlines that are
one
real.
One is real satire and one is
one
fake
is
fan satire.
Headlines that could conceivably be from The Onion.
Okay.
There's some good ones.
But they're real, right?
Okay. They're all real. Yeah.
Yeah, they're real.
r/NotTheOnion is real.
Those are real headlines.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
That people
okay.
think are or could be an onion.
Okay.
Because
okay.
they're crazy.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm ready for fake news feud.
That's it. That's
fake
good.
News feud.
Thank you. Alliteration.
You got
okay.
it. Writer.
First one. Candidate for Charlotte mayor puts white among qualifications.
I think it's not one.
Yeah, I'm going to say onion.
It doesn't feel like
onion or not the onion.
Not the onion.
I'm going to go onion.
I'm going to go onion.
I'm going to lose here.
The answer is not the onion.
It just doesn't feel
okay,
like
read
it
to me again,
like
please?
Silly
candidate
enough.
Candidate for Charlotte mayor puts white among qualifications.
Like, it's funny and I
oh
get
my.
It, but it doesn't
oh,
feel
no.
like it doesn't. No. Onion, I feel like, goes like the step further.
Yeah, you're
yeah,
right.
That's
you
true.
Know.
All right, think bigger.
That's fair.
Smart.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Smart.
Smart.
Okay. Question number two. Or I guess topic number two.
You're just pulling
title
these off
two.
The
no,
internet.
No, no,
I didn't even look
I
at which
that.
Ones you're going to do.
I have in front of
He's
me.
Got
okay.
tabs.
He's ready. Right.
Losers are more likely to believe in conspiracy theory, study finds.
Onion,
onion or
it's
not the onion.
Onion?
I mean, it's the onion.
Yeah, onion.
That is not the onion.
No way.
Okay, well,
it's
that's
not
true.
Crazy enough.
I love conspiracy
it's
theories.
Not
and,
crazy
I'm a
crazy
and I'm a loser. We did an episode on conspiracy theories.
That's
did
amazing.
You?
Yeah,
that's
we
amazing.
Did.
I
Check it out.
On our
iTunes.
SoundCloud?
Yeah, it's on our top
five. Podcast
Easy.
App on.
We're on iTunes?
Yeah.
Headline number three.
Okay, wait, what was the last one? Oh, the losers one. How can you just
are
say
more likely
like that? You can't use the word losers genuinely in a headline. That seems incorrect.
What is the definition
of a
loser?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That just is a bully move.
A lot of these are the result of poor editorial decision making.
Clearly.
But I love them anyways. Okay, headline number three. Official investigating Hugh Hefner's death suspect foreplay.
Oh.
Onion. I'm going to say onion.
Yeah, that has to be onion.
That is correct.
That's rough. Did you see the, I can't remember, it was like the Daily News or something, posted or published an article about Hugh Hefner dying, but
it was like
advanced
do not publish.
Yeah, dies at, it was like Hugh Hefner dies at XX, like do not publish until it's finished or whatever, and it got published.
Yeah,
it was with all like, the like information.
All of it was like
that's
redacted.
So funny.
It was really funny. It was like, the
See,
tweet was like,
satire.
Hugh Hefner is
just
dead, and so is the person's job.
Headline number four. Wisconsin sends 17,000 pounds of cheese to Houston.
This is the Onion.
Not the Onion.
No, that's absolutely
that's for sure real.
Yeah, true.
That is correct.
Yeah.
It is not
yeah.
the Onion.
Oh. Wisconsin would Wisconsin. Absolutely do that. Yeah.
All right. Headline number five. We assume a linear theory of numbers.
Who's winning?
I think.
Not me.
I think it's Gia.
Oh, ooh, you're right. We're just feeling here. It out still.
No, it's all up here.
Why do we give Brendan any authority? I don't know.
Because you put me behind the computer. Question number, or headline number five. Jeb Bush debuts one-man presidential campaign tragedy in black box theater.
That's hilarious.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
I think it's, I don't want to say...
It's got to be
onion. That's got to be the onion.
That is correct.
That cannot be.
No way. No.
I think about that Jeb Bush thing a lot where he's like, please clap. He's just so sad. You've seen Jeb is a mess.
Yeah, I think maybe.
Have you seen that thing on YouTube?
Yes.
Jeb is a mess. Jeb is a big fat mess.
Yeah. All right. I have one more for you. Okay. Last one. Joel Osteen says he didn't open his church for shelter from Harvey because nobody asked him to.
That's not the Onion, because we all followed that story.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because okay. That was like the worst and most ironic thing that has ever happened, right? That was satire in and of itself.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, then I got one more for you. But good, you all got it right.
So we all win.
You all win. But here's your last headline, Onion or not. World Clown Association complains movie It is hurting real clowns.
Not
that was
not
the Onion.
That happened.
It's not the Onion.
That is correct.
Come on. Oh, you have to give us a harder
one.
We
know.
That's
funny.
You want a harder
though.
One?
Yeah.
That's funny, though. That also makes me sad.
Right?
That, like,
we have
professional clowns everywhere.
Journalism, majors, minors. We all read the news.
This is a great one.
Okay.
I actually wasn't sure when I first saw it. Sex robot sent for repairs after being molested at tech fair.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
that's horrible. But I don't know if it's real.
I can't tell.
Can you say it one more time, please?
Sex robot sent for repairs after being molested at tech fair.
That sounds like it could be something that
I don't think
that's
not onion.
That's
I'm going to say not onion.
Because of the word molested, it has to be the onion.
I'm going
to
say not onion.
Not onion.
The answer is not the onion.
No way.
I knew it.
So I think the only clear thing here is that Kate did not win.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I did not deserve a win.
She believes in conspiracy theories, so she's a loser.
I'm a loser.
Yeah.
Makes sense now. You're right.
All right, I think that's all we got for today.
That is. Thank you so much, Allie, for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
A
pleasure.
I learned so much about satire and why we use it, why we do it, and also so much about you, which is great.
Love it.
Yeah, follow The Black Sheep on Twitter, Facebook, and the like. Their URL is theblacksheeponline.com/DPaul.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to apply?
Yes, definitely apply. The application is on our website.
Amazing.
Great. Beautiful. Thanks so much, guys. Thank you for tuning in to Scrawl Nation. We'll see you next week, Friday at 11, same time, same place. In the meantime, have a lovely rest of your weekend and enjoy the weather. Enjoy the fall.
It's fall is here.
All right. Bye, guys.